to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today.
There are several things that I hadn't thought of before until Nancy asked me two or three questions. And one threw me completely, which was about how my parents treated me and what impact that may have had on the way I brought up my kids. And that is something I hadn't really thought of. So there was some thought here that I was not anticipating, but I'm glad it happened.
Hey, hi, everybody. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy Meyer. Everyone hates doing the books for their business except Sally Doyle. At Absolute Business Solutions, she's a trustworthy bookkeeper who loves crunching the numbers for small business owners and entrepreneurs. You can sleep soundly knowing every dollar in your business is 100% accounted for. You're freed up to do the work that you're good at and keep leading. To set up a free consultation, call Sally Doyle, a profit strategist, bookkeeper. She's also an innovative thinker, so she reflects on the numbers and gives advice and understands an entrepreneur's thinking. So you can call her at 1-651-208-8151. And you can scroll down to the end of the show notes and click on the link, and it'll take you directly to Sally. All right, today, we've been having such wonderful conversations. We're with the Wallners, and as you know, this is a 8-part series. So the first series, we kind of set up the episodes, and we would like to each take our turn in sharing why we're doing this. But to give you kind of a basic introduction, both Alan and Rosie Wallner own W Creative Branding. And over the years, the business has been a big part of their family culture, and it's not uncommon for the entire family to be involved with helping out on a project. Alan and Rosie met in high school and dated through college. After college, they married, and together they have 3 children, Lizzie, 27, Alex, 22, and Aaron, 13, plus 2 dogs, Rance and Leo, and we've been talking about them. You've been hearing it. And just as their middle child, Alex, was wrapping up her senior year, she came out as transgender. And so last week, we talked about the hero's journey and how Alex was called into the journey. And then as a result, her whole family kind of joined her as her allies and helped her and themselves kind of walk their ways through the process. So Alex, what was the main purpose of why you wanted to share your story?
I guess a big part of it is just kind of to love yourself. You know, you're gonna be hitting a lot of bumps in the roads, and you're gonna be wanting to go out to find who you are, but look inward for that and work on yourself. And you know, it's been a journey to like look for your power within, and that's what a lot of this is it's accepting and loving yourself.
Yeah.
And hopefully you can find that out in yourself.
Yeah. Alan, how about you?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is very similar to Alex. You know, there's been a lot of self-exploration and realizing that, you know, we control how we feel, not someone else. We determine how we feel, not someone else. And it's just, you know, and it's being more present and just going through everything with Alex is just, I don't know, brought us more aware. So it's a journey thing, and I think journeys are good for everyone to experience.
We're all
otherwise
called.
Life would be really boring.
That's right. Life is a lot more exciting now. Yeah. Rosie, how about you?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you feel that your family story is important to talk and share?
I think if it's one thing I've learned over the years is that all people need acceptance, you know, no matter who you are. And again, it sounds a little trite, but everyone does have a journey. And I think the important thing as you're going through life is to be open-minded, to be receptive to other people.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm bringing this story to all those in leadership roles because I think we hear many stories and conversations about how people have made transformations in their life. But I wanted to bring your story because we've known each other for a long time. And I was experiencing some of the shock that you were experiencing just from knowing you. I thought that it's such an important journey for business owners to know and to have some extra tools that you've been sharing and navigating different conversations and accepting the challenge individually and as a family to transform through the process. And so in our first conversation, we kind of, you had a chance to meet the Wallners like you did today. And the second conversation, Alexandria was sharing her coming out journey. And our third conversation, it was Alan's turn to share his journey to acceptance. And Rosie had a chance to share her acceptance. Journey of acceptance. And then as we were talking more, we thought there's a lot of terminology out there. And so we did our fifth conversation about the terminology between genders and gender versus sexual orientation and some of what you were experiencing just being out in the world and also how you're talking about yourself. And so we thought for our sixth conversation, we wanted to talk about power, religion, and freedom to be who we are.
Yeah, it's a heavy subject.
Yeah, but we sorted it out ahead of time, so we won't take the listeners through the rabbit hole or into a rabbit hole. Because it is a big topic. The religious institutions and a lot of structures, you know, through the Me Too movement, it's caused us all to kind of reflect and notice what is not right in our society. And it's giving us an opportunity as these big structures are kind of crumbling to create and look at different ways that we can be better as human beings and better as a society to reflect the personal growth that we're all doing. And like we were talking a little bit off the mic, that really, if you're really committed to the spiritual growth process and you believe you're a spiritual human being, then you're going to go through different transitions during the time with your faith. And at different times, you need different types of resources. So how you've navigated that is what I would like to have the listeners tune into. So Alex, would you like to share your part of the religious journey and spiritual journey?
Sure.
I know it's a broad question.
It is a broad question, but I guess, you know, I could start with, you know, when I was younger, we were very religious. From what I remember, we tried to go almost every Sunday to church, and we'd enjoy that. And I would, on Wednesdays, I had a religious class that I would go to all the way up until, I think it was.
So you're Christian? Do you want to see what faith you grew up in?
Yes. Yeah, we were Christian. It was, I believe, you know, you could say the denomination of things like Roman Catholic, I believe.
Yes.
I can see.
Okay, I guess we did a good job there.
You can see how much it stuck around. But
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. That's
good. I'm just resting.
It's okay. Alex. Yeah. It's all right.
I know through that, and when I was younger, I was really into it, and I was very, you know, I was very religious. I didn't show it much, but I really enjoyed it, and I tried all I could to get into it and everything. And, you know, for a while, it kind of hit or miss, and I didn't really enjoy going to, like, the Wednesday classes, but just...
Were they like a confirmation class it was or a, catechism? It was kinda,
I think it was, it started, I did a lot of, I think it was catechism, and then it started, and then it moved into the confirmation. And then once I got into, like, the confirmation classes, that's kind of where I started to hit my hiccups with my faith. And, you know, kind of going, you know, this isn't really for me. And, you know, that was also the time around where I was figuring out everything and going through my own transition and trying to deal with that. And
so did you feel you needed a different type of community for support at that point in your life?
Yes. Well, I actually, no. I thought that I could find, like, help and support through...
Or within that, right?
Within that community that I was trying to... I was trying maybe too hard to be a part of. And I thought I could. And, I slowly would express here and there, like, you know, when I first started, you know, I tried to express, like, being gay, you know, to my, like, youth group and, like, struggling with that a little bit. And they were like, oh, you know, that's okay. You know, because that's, you know, it's about the time when, you know, the whole, everyone, the red, all, a lot of religions were starting to be like, we like gay people, come to our churches, you know, all that stuff. Okay. So, like, they were okay with it. They were kind of like, you know, yeah, it's fine. You know, like, they didn't really seem genuine about it, but they're like, it's okay. And then just kind of as it more turned into, you know, from being gay and just thinking like that was it to more being transgender. And, you know, that was something that my, you know, that we went to, the church that I went to, I feel like didn't deal with in particularly at all. Because, you know, just we could go to the point where I kind of went away from it and I knew that it wasn't for me. Was I went to a part of my like confirmation and to get confirmed was to go to a couple like camps. And I went, you know, I went to, I think it was like a 3 or 4 day overnight camp that we went to. And, you know, I was pegged with the boys and I had to be with the boys. And that was just not fun. Because there, you know.
Oh, gosh. And that would be really hard.
It was very, there it was very like boys and girls. Like I had, we had co-ed groups that we'd be a part of, but at the same time, we'd have, like, our men's faith group and the women's faith group, and I'd have to go to the men's faith group and do that, where it's a lot of, like, being, you know, how to be a man of God and stuff like that. And that I was not digging it. I wasn't enjoying it at all, and it was very hard for me to go through. But, you know, I eventually made it through, and then there wasn't really too many hiccups there. It just was more of us. That's when I was kind of struggling and having a hard time, like being identifying and being with other guys as a guy. And that's where I had issues and it didn't seem right. Yeah. And then, so after that whole one, I went to a day camp that was outside of my church. So it was a different church that we went to. And that's kind of where I had my big pinnacle, like, maybe religion isn't like, maybe this, you know, faith isn't there very much to help me. The whole day was just fine. You know, it was actually kind of fun. But like, it was towards the end where we had like a pray session where we go into the church and we'd sat and they had music playing and you'd sit contemplation, I guess. You sit and pray for, I think it was like 2 hours. We were just in there. It was very long. But
long for anybody.
Long for anybody.
Yeah.
But, you know, part of it is that that's kind of when I did, you know, I did some reflecting on myself and, you know, trying to sit there and figure out, like, is this something that I want to do? Is this something, or is, like, transitioning something that I want to do and, you know, asking God for that. And, you know, part of it got to the point of me, like, wanting, you know, praying it away, you know, trying, you know, asking God, like, hey, can I not have these feelings anymore? Because they are literally tearing me apart and I can't figure out what's going on. Can you help me? And, you know, I didn't really, you know, I like to think he helped me and was more just like, you know,
The help came in a different way
than I thought.
Yeah. Exactly. You know,
it never gets rid of the way
it
you
never gets rid of the thought. But I guess, so there, that was a whole big thing. And what ended up happening is I started crying. You know, not a nice, quiet little sob. I started just bawling.
Yeah.
And I had some of the guys, or some of like the the camp counselors come over to me and they're like, hey, what's going on? And I'm like, I'm dealing with a lot of crap right now. I need some space. And they're like, okay, well, come on over here and we'll help you take care of it. So like, you know, I was just red face. It's not nosy. It was not like, I was just bawling because it was a lot of emotions that I was battling with. And, you know, they asked me, like, what's going on? You know, why is, like, something going on in your home life or is this and that? And they're asking me all these questions. And, you know, I finally got enough courage to tell them, like, I don't want to be a guy anymore. And I want to be a woman. And I need to be a woman in order to live. And their faces went from being very compassionate and, like, trying to take care of me to very just blank nothing and anger towards me. Yeah, that was kind of the point where I all of a sudden realized, like, I'm not in a safe space. I'm not safe right now. And it was a lot, and they mentally, like, kind of attacked me and belittled and kind of made fun of me for what I shared to them. And, you know, their big thing that they went on was that I'm a man of God and I can't change that. And that was their big thing that they kept pushing on me, and that, you know, they made fun of me for cross-dressing at the time. You know, I brought that up, like, I wear women's clothing, and, like, I'm pretty sure I had a sports bra on, and they made fun of me for that, and just was not the love and compassion that I thought I was going to get. And then just throughout the rest of the day, you know, they must have told the rest of the counselors, because it was just, you know, it was just comments here and there, and, you know, people just making me feel uncomfortable, and, like, knowing that, you know, it was just
sounds frightening, really.
And, like, you know, I had nowhere to go. I didn't know anybody there.
So what did you do?
I did the thing that I normally do. I just kind of turned myself into a ball, you know, metaphorically, and just didn't, you know, I tried all I could to just sneak away with, like, different, like, if we would go over to this room, you know, I'd take my time going there, or I'd spend it longer. I know I spent, like, an hour and a half in the bathroom, and they were, like, looking for me, and I'm like, I'm trying to avoid you guys. Like, I don't want to be here. And, you know, I don't think I had a cell phone, so I couldn't call my mom, or I didn't think they took our cell phones or something like that. They're like, you know, so I didn't have a way of, like, reaching out, like, I want to go home. Wow. And I couldn't do that, so I was just, and, like, that was, of course, you know, like, in the right away in the beginning of it. So it was just the rest of the day of just, you know.
This was how many days?
That was just a day.
This was just the day camp.
One long
day. It was a long day. And, you know, I remember just, like, being relieved when it was over and, you know, like, ready to go home and, like, as soon as they're like, okay, we're done, you guys can go home, you know, I grab my phone right away and I call my mom. I was like, you need to get here now. I want to go home.
And what was your experience when you heard her?
Well, for me, this is the first time I've heard this.
So. Oh, wow. Okay.
It is the first time I've heard your side of the story. Mm-hmm. I remember you, I just thought it was Alex being a teenager, not wanting to be part of a...
Because this was, you know, before she came out,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was as you were coming to terms with it for yourself.
Mm-hmm. But I also knew, I remember at the time thinking, this is, you know, not to discount your feelings. Mm-hmm. And maybe I didn't understand all that had happened. You probably told me, I don't remember that part.
Did the camp counselor say anything?
No.
No.
Which in hindsight, maybe they should have, but... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, slightly.
Yeah.
I think again, even though I didn't totally understand what was going on, I knew just to support Alex and just to get her out of there. So that's what we did. And then I don't think you ever did another one.
No, I never did another one. And, like, that was kind of my turning point where I was like, okay, you know, this
don't need to go through another long
don't
day.
Don't need to do that. Don't need to do another long day of, you know, of people making fun of who I am.
Right.
Because, yeah. I was looking for help.
Well, you were at your most vulnerable space.
Mm-hmm.
trying to come to terms with what you were experiencing. And so to have that experience, you know, with people being judgment and mm-hmm. judging and trying to make you, they shamed you.
Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of that stemmed probably from people like not being knowledgeable about it. And, you know, like what we talked about last time, like, you know, they didn't have the knowledge. They didn't know what this was. You know, they didn't know that it's okay.
They were trained a certain way of thinking mm-hmm. and responding to people who
mm-hmm.
caught them off guard a little.
Probably, definitely did.
And I think, good for you. What? Yes.
What the what?
Yeah, right, exactly.
And I'm pretty sure that's probably what the part of it was, is, you know, they were, you know, expecting me to be like, you know, my parents are fighting at home, you know, they're going through a divorce. Right, right. Like, they're expecting something like that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You know, instead of,
I don't think I'm okay with my gender.
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't want to be a boy anymore. Like, I don't think they were. And so like, at that point, you know, I'm not mad at them. You know, I've gone through and forgiven them. You know, it's.
So how have you got your grounding and your faith? If you're not going to church
mm-hmm.
And you believe in God, and you believe that you're a spiritual being,
mm-hmm.
and you're on a spiritual path, where are you getting nourishment in that area?
I don't really know what to call it, but it's just, I'm, you know, instead of more of God as like as a being, as an entity, it's more of the universe kind of being it. You know, the God is the universe, God is everything, kind of taking that literally and being like, you know, I'm not saying like there is no God. I'm just saying like the universe is God and we all are God.
We're all connected.
We're all connected. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I have turned my faith into, is instead of being like, you know, there's one God and, you know, he's that, it's, and he's like a formed entity. It's more of just like, he's everything.
I see.
And it's more, instead of, you know, he's more the universe.
Yeah, and it's nice to know that you can take charge of your own mm-hmm. journey.
Yeah, and that's where I've found it, and, you know, I just, and that I, it's hard to explain, I guess. My parents
can
probably
well.
Explain it a little bit better if they're, but.
No, that one day I did it.
That was.
kind of totally get the journey there.
The
yeah.
And like, it wasn't just that like single day that did it. It was like after that. And as I started to like come out more and try to be more verbal about it, like the pushback that I got from that community, and I was kind of just like, this isn't something I want to be a part of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think around that whole time as a family, our religion just kind of, I don't know if it's kind of stagnated or stalled. And we were all kind of in a limbo there for a while, I think would be a good way to phrase that. You know, I do know we did taper off going to church, and of course, you know, that's the time probably when you need to be having some type of support the most, because that's when a lot of the changes were starting to happen, you know, with Alex, and we were trying to figure out how to deal with everything. So we all kind of felt like we were on an island going through all that. But we did, I don't remember even what started it all, but we all started reading more books, you know, like the Power of Now, and just this whole series of spiritual oriented books, you know, Daring Greatly,
Brené Brown.
You know, just mm-hmm. tons of books along that realm that just started having us look at things differently, and that, you know, we can control how we feel. It's not someone else. And the idea is to be present, and to, you know, me in particular at the time, I had a ton of head chatter. I think you and I have talked, Alex, you had a ton of head chatter too, and mm-hmm. you know, through meditation and other things like that, I think we can all kind of safely say, we haven't talked about this for a while, but like, I don't have that head chatter anymore, you know, and I think maybe here and there, maybe it come back a little bit. Yeah. But I mean, we're a lot more present in our day, aware of one another. It used to be that you could have something trigger you, and then you get into an argument, and now you realize what a trigger is, and you don't get into that argument. You know how to be compassionate and adjust the conversation so that you can have a conversation and not blame one another or shame somebody. It's just being more open and receptive and compassionate, and it's. And, you know, even there's a book by the Dalai Lama, I think it's called A Call for a Revolution. And he talks about the four measurables in there. And, you know, it's living life with loving kindness. Mm-hmm. You know, may all beings have happiness. And then I think number two is, compassion, you know, so being free from suffering, you know, just. And then empathetic joy. Rejoicing in the happiness and virtues. And then equanimity was the big one where, you know, regarding all living things as equals. So it's just having a different presence about all of these things.
That's what I felt when I went through yoga teacher training.
Mm-hmm.
And the power is within,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to realize, wow, I've got the power within and I can bring it forward. And that actually through neuroscience, there's like a hub in our brain or a sacred space where we go when we meditate.
Yeah.
And over a period of time, that awareness that you have, it actually widens. And so the knowledge that we have, you know, if there were arrows and our experience is coming up from the bottom and that all the knowledge that we have, it kind of comes together. And the space in between is where we try to create awareness and expand it. And that's where equanimity lies, where we feel more peaceful throughout our day. But those are daily practices that we can implement in our everyday life. And those are human qualities that we can kind of expand. And it's different than what we were taught growing up in these religious structures that we were taught, you know, that it's somebody outside ourselves, that God is everywhere. But, you know, the path to, you know, understand Jesus is we have to live like Jesus. And anyways, there's just right and wrong and, you know, all these different rules. Found out not everybody's living them.
Yeah.
Not everybody's practicing them.
Right.
I
think what it boils down to is just everyone needs to kind of
find their own path.
Have a daily routine. You know, if it's journaling, affirmations, meditating, reading a little bit, doing some visioning.
My grandmother used to go to church every day. She lived like kitty corner from the Catholic church in a very small town. And I drove by, it was a town of Green, it's called Greenwald. And she when she was alive, so at her house, she had a huge statue of Mary outside of her house. And I drove by there, and the statue is, like, still there. Like, wow. But she used to, like, have holy water in the car. And so when we went by a church, she would roll down the window, throw a little holy water out, and then we were all doing the sign of the cross in the car. You know, she had such a good sense of humor about it all. But she's very, very devout Catholic.
Yeah.
So, you know, different generations, we're taking what we're learning as a society and we're kind of forming it and making it into our own way of and sorting out our own path. So it used to be the power was outside in all these other structures.
Right.
And now we're seeing really the journey is our
within.
Own journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe there's a bigger reason for why we're all having to go through such a big transformation within ourselves.
Yeah. I don't remember who said this or where the quote came from, but I think they say you're as big internally as the universe is externally. So, you know, you can go really deep internally. So there's a lot to know about yourself.
The well is deep.
Yes.
So, Rosie, what would you like to share before we close out our conversation? So you two, have you been reading together, sharing the same books?
Yes, a lot. Okay. I think there's a lot out there, and the more you're open to it, it always seems to come to you. We've read a lot. One book I've really liked is The Four Agreements by Miguel Ruiz. And really, you know, I mean, I think we're kind of sounding like we're taking ourselves pretty seriously, but I mean, it is just to, they're just basic tenets, you know, be impeccable with your words. Yes. Yeah. Don't take anything personally. Don't make assumptions and always do your best. I mean, you can't really go wrong with
those four.
With those four, exactly.
Yeah. And if you're walking to the bookstore and that book falls off the shelf right in front of you, probably means you should read it.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody's looking out for your best interest.
Exactly.
Oh, well, great. This was a great conversation. Are you doing the same kind of readings that your parents are doing?
I'm a little far behind, but I'm catching up.
They're all around the house, so she really has no excuse.
Casually leave them laying out.
Right. One of them will fall on the floor at some point. Yeah.
Have like a fishing string or something that they're going to pull. Oh, pull this down.
Well, these have been delightful conversations, and they're all, each conversation, I just feel strongly that it kind of builds on the next, and it kind of moves us all forward. So I feel there's a little self-growth in here for me, too, and I'm sure there will be for the listeners, and hopefully when you go home that you'll be kind of reflecting on our conversations as well, and you'll get to hear it again.
Yes.
Yeah, and Mike Cabea has been here for the whole thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe picked up a few things, too.
Yes, and I forgot to mention that, geez, I've got this on May 14th, another mini lab. It's Develop Your Intrinsic Leadership and Mentoring Value. So I'm really focusing on our intrinsic value and expanding it. So what we're going to explore is the ways in which to effectively lead yourself. And I'm talking in terms of innovation and leadership, and how do I effectively lead myself and navigate through some of this messy stuff that goes on when you're trying to move your business and your life forward. And what if you could feel more deeply to think, act, lead, mentor more clearly and effectively? And how would you incorporate some of these new strategies into different daily routines and practices? And what strategies will you implement to effectively lead yourself? So the second part of the workshop, the lab, is how to develop a highly effective team. So where is my leadership team right now? What level of trust do we have with each other? What are some practices that you're doing in the workplace that are bringing you closer? And what if you could implement a flexible structure for your team to be more effective and responsive to change? What if they knew more about how you innovate? How would that influence your team? So we've got a lot that we're focusing on, but the main thing that you walk out of with the mini lab is you walk out with a mini plan. One for how to lead yourself and the other for how to collaborate and mentor more effectually with those you work with every day. So I'd love for you to join me. It's only $149, and it'll be the best 4.5 hours you spend for yourself and your team. Probably this year. I know, I'm convinced I'm bringing a lot of value. All right, so we're out of here. I hope you can join me. You know where to find me, and we've got some nice book resources for you as well, so you can continue growing yourself with The Power of Now or The Four Agreements, and we'll see you next week.